Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to find out about cell phone use and thyroid cancer, a new study from Yale University. It's important. They looked at 900 people, published the results in the Journal of Environmental Research. I'll discuss it with 12 other important original studies today. Also today, your opportunity to talk back to the issues. Psychiatric medications can cause mental illness. Just the medications can. Holistic psychiatrist Kelly Brogan will discuss. Also, what if I told you the whole myth of the chemical imbalance in your brain was created to sell drugs? It was. You'll hear the proof. You'll be able to talk back. Classrooms are in crisis. The outburst plaguing Oregon classrooms. Why? Never saw any of this before. What's happening? Also, why artificial intelligence is the most dangerous thing you can imagine right now. And people are asleep, or they're being manipulated by very hyper, colorful, exciting ads showing that if you have the 5G, you're connected to all things, makes your life better, quicker. No, it doesn't. It's all a lie. And artificial intelligence is a part of this. So we're going to have a different artificial intelligence expose every day for the next 10 days to show you what's been planned for a long time, who the people are behind it, the billions of dollars they're making from it, and how it's negatively impacting you and I. So we have a lot to share today, and you'll have a chance after each of the segments to call in and share your point of view. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Now, some of the videos you can watch, others you can only hear. We try to get permission so we can play them, and most of the time we can. Occasionally we can't. So if you want to watch the YouTube of this, you can go to youtube.com/PRNFM. Also, a lot of people travel, and they'd like to hear the show in real time, Monday to Friday, noon to 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can do that. I'll give you the number, 774-337-6068, 774-337-6068. But if you're like 95% of the people, you want to listen to it when you get home at night, you can listen to the archives anytime, 24/7. One phone call and you can download 5 programs. That number for the archives, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. Now to this particular study. Radiation from cell phones is associated with the higher rates of thyroid cancer among people with genetic variations in specific genes. That's according to a new study led by Yale School of Public Health. The researchers examined over 900 people in Connecticut and found that those with a certain single nucleotide polymorphism, that means the genetic variations commonly referred to as SNPs and pronounced SNPs, were significantly more likely to develop cancer in their thyroid, a gland, by the way, in your throat that controls metabolism. So I started looking at all the studies on cancer and cell phones, and found that tumors of the brain, tumors of the skull, tumors of the face are also very common. If you're going to use a cell phone, keep it on speaker, or use those blue tubes where the electromagnetic frequency is ended in the blue tube so it doesn't reach your head. They're like little earpieces. And the worst you can do is wear one of those little phones that I see everyone using now in their ears, because that means it's just pulsing nonstop right into your ears. Not good. So just remember that. Oh, and by the way, I want to thank all the people in this audience who attended the 5G rally this past Saturday. The weather wasn't good in New York, so they held it indoors. It was packed. I don't know all the people who were there. I know that John Q and Celia were there. I don't know who else. But they said that one of the highlights of educating the people was to read the article Richard Gowen had written on 5G. Turns out that article has also been posted on Health Impact News, Green Med Info, and dozens of other sites around the world. So that's why we always ask people, please share every article, because these are calls to action. We'll do the we'll do the heavy lifting. We'll go out and spend days, weeks if necessary, doing the research to present scholarly, well-informed, and unbiased information, fully referenced and footnoted. You can then take that into court. You can use it to educate other people or to attend a city council meeting well-prepared. So you're not just a citizen activist, you're a citizen activist educated. That's what these articles are for. So right now, we have 67 articles and letters to Wikipedia showing how wrong they are on everything they do and their bias when it comes to alternative and complementary medicine. All of those are posted on PRN.fm. Start to educate yourself. Because unless we can challenge them, unless we can challenge the skeptics and Jimmy Wales and get them to change their ways and erase all the biographies that they have disingenuously put up there simply to attack people who are prominent in different fields like Deepak Chopra, Rupert Sheldrake, or Sher Hawkinson, hundreds of people, then 99% of the people looking for new information will Google a topic on health. It'll go to Wikipedia, and Wikipedia will give them misinformation. You have to know what that misinformation is, so please share as far and wide as you can these articles. And I want to thank Green Med Info and Health Impact News and others, and the Natural Blaze, Global Research, all the ones that take our articles and share them. Because then, like Global Research might have 100 different sites download from their site because they're highly critical and very specific on what they'll allow to be posted. So a lot of people are reading these articles. So that's why they're better informed. So I want to thank those people. Now, any cell phone is dangerous. If you go clear back to the G1, 2, 3, 4, and Wi-Fi, very dangerous. But the fact that we are aware of it doesn't mean that we're going to change. I'll give you a good example of this. The BBC presented a documentary, very well done documentary, very objective, very professional. It's about 23 minutes long. And the documentary talked about Wi-Fi in British schools. So it took in some sophisticated gear that can measure electromagnetic frequency waves. And all the schools that they went into had Wi-Fi. So they put the meter where a person's head would be sitting at a desk looking at a computer. Every one of those read dangerous. They then started to backtrack and say, how far away from that Wi-Fi do you have to go? They went 600 feet and still were in a danger zone. Now think of that every time you get on an airplane and every single seat has Wi-Fi. Every airport, everywhere. You shouldn't have that. Also, the whole 5G we shouldn't have. Now, they could take this same technology and they could hardwire it. Those hardwires already exist. So the question is, why wouldn't they do that? Why would they be tearing down millions of trees and putting 50,000 satellites that could cover the whole Earth with these electromagnetic frequencies? Why would they completely ignore over 23,000 scientists sending a letter to all the world governments saying, don't use 5G, it is dangerous? Why, when they came before Congress, all of the leading agencies that are using 5G and organizations, the telecom industry, they said we have never done a study on its health. Therefore, we don't know what it is. Now, that's under oath, and that's current. And yet, no one seemed to say, well, shouldn't we err on the side of caution and have you do these studies before we go ahead and have the whole world exposed? That's how corrupt Congress is. Congress, a legislator will sit right there, ask a very legitimate question, do you have any studies showing the health consequences using 5G? The people had to say under oath, no. So you then emphasize, so you're allowing the public to be exposed. Then why didn't that same legislator create a bill, bipartisan bill, to get it stopped? They didn't. So this is some of the dog and pony shows of these congressional hearings. Anyhow, I wanted to share that with you. From Loma Linda University, there's a two-year study. They examined walnut consumption among a group of people living in California and Spain. They found that having a handful of walnuts slows cognitive decline in at-risk groups who are elderly. And this was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Now, we know that it's good for your heart, and we know it's good for your arteries, and we know it's good for its healthy fats. Now we know it's good for your brain. The study they were doing was called Walnuts and Healthy Aging Study. Just one item. So that's important. Why? Because of the omega-3 fatty acids and polyphenols, which have previously been found to counteract oxidative stress and inflammation. So it also, oxidative stress and inflammation drives cognitive decline. And a professor, Sabit, professor of nutrition epidemiology at Loma Linda, did this study, and good for him, because we should be eating more nuts, and that should be a new kind of snack food for people who are interested only in eating junky snack foods. This would be a different way. So eat your walnuts, have better memory. There was also another findings published in New England Journal of Medicine back in 1993 showing that, and it was the first of its kind, showing that walnuts would lower your cholesterol levels as well, specifically the walnut compared to other nuts. It also lowers your blood cholesterol. So how about that? Your total cholesterol, you're in the different types of cholesterol, helps your brain, helps your heart, reduces inflammation in the body, handful of walnuts. Also, from the University of California, Davis, and University of Arizona, researchers examined the role of micronutrients in atopic dermatitis, which, by the way, is very common. They published the results in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, and they found that it substantially improves. That means when you're taking your basic vitamins and minerals, you know, with your zinc and copper and iron, selenium, magnesium, strontium, and all the other vitamins C and A and D and E, those micronutrients are helping if you have atopic dermatitis. From Tufts University School of Nutrition, a 14-year trend shows worsening disparities in meal quality, meaning if you dine out, there's a very high probability that you're going to end up eating unhealthy food, making you unhealthy. This was done at the Friedman School of Nutrition and Science and Policy at Tufts University, published in the Journal of Nutrition. They examined 35,000 U.S. adults from 2003 to 2016, 13 years, in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. And this is dining at full service, meaning those with the wait staff, or fast food restaurants. Now, that includes pizza shops and all the others that you're all familiar with. And the results were really bad. At fast food restaurants, 70% of the meals Americans consume were poor dietary quality. So, not good. And it's those of you who will take your time to go to a health food store or a food co-op order a farmer's market, select the freshest, cleanest, healthiest food you can, take your time and prepare it, make it interesting, plant-based, you have the best health. You have the best outcomes. And you can make your meals as exciting as anyone else. You also have less calories. You're less overweight. You have less inflammation. You have less fatigue, better night's sleep. So it's not difficult. From the University of Otago, which is New Zealand, cycling to work, you can live longer. People who bicycle to work have a lower risk of dying. How about that? This is published in the International Journal of Epidemiology. And the lead researcher, Dr. Carolyn Shaw, the Department of Public Health, say people who cycled to work had a 13% reduction in death during the study, likely as a result of health benefits of physical activity. Now, there was no reduction in mortality for those who walked or took public transport to work. Now, what they didn't do, they didn't compare that to people who power walk to work. That would be different, but they didn't do that. Most people walking to work just walk normally, and that doesn't help you. But biking does. That's good news. So get your biking in. And also from Punjab University in India comes a study about chromium picolinate. It decreased cognitive deficit, and especially in an Alzheimer's model study. So chromium, very important mineral. And let me spell pico, P-I-C-O, linate, L-I-N-A-T-E. Chromium picolinate decreases cognitive deficit. Therefore, people with memory loss or any form of cognition problems should be considering using it because it is helping to prevent Alzheimer's. And that's important. And taking vitamin D for several years is found to help those with cancer live longer. Michigan State University. And it was published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. It can really lengthen the lives if you've taken it for at least 3 years. And this was a study of 10 randomized trials, 79,000 people with cancer. And those who took the vitamin D had a lower cancer risk and death. So that's good. Olive oil could help slash your chance of bone fractures in half. And this is from a major university in Spain. So quite simply, eating more olives, having more olive oil, can put your osteoporosis down the rung, less likely to get it. Why? Because of the phenolic, P-H-E-N-O-L-I-C, phenolic compounds found in extra virgin organic olive oil have that benefit on bone health. They lower the risk of bone fractures by 51% if you consume it regularly. So that's good. So have your olive oil. Makes a big difference. And finally, natural compounds found in herbs and vegetables could improve the treatment of triple-negative breast cancer in women, University of Missouri. They looked at women, and they found that more than 100 women die from breast cancer every day, every 24 hours in the United States. Now, triple-negative breast cancer, which comprise about 20% of all breast cancer tumors, are particularly deadly type of breast disease that often metastasize to distant sites. Now, University of Missouri researchers have found that lutein and other natural compounds found in like thyme and parsley, celery and broccoli can reduce the risk of developing metastasis originating from triple negative breast cancer. This is where your juicing protocols, your plant-based vegetable protocols, having 13 servings of fresh vegetables every day makes a big difference, and certainly have your cruciferous vegetables. Very important, especially for that deadly type of cancer. I'm Gary Noll. We're almost 20 minutes into our program. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to go to our first group of audio clips today, and this is Dr. Kelly Brogan, on just a 2-minute clip talking about psychiatric medications can cause mental illness.
These medications are driving the very epidemics that they, you know, are claiming to treat, right? Including data that shows that for every, 23 patients, this is Yale data, 23 patients treated with an antidepressant, one bipolar patient is born, So we are creating and generating epidemics of mental illness that wouldn't exist without the treatments that we are offering. And this is called iatrogenesis. You know, this is called doctor-driven harm. And I have witnessed in my practice many patients who developed symptoms during treatment, but particularly during discontinuation, that they never had before medication treatment. And these symptoms can include everything from suicidality to intractable depression. There are patients who have never struggled with depression, who are treated with antidepressants for, insomnia, for example, and who end up 5 weeks later committing suicide. So this is something that we have to reckon with. And essentially, the challenges of a medication taper often leave patients trapped and, in a kind of a set of clinical handcuffs, because they are symptomatic on medication and then they cannot come off it. Of course, it's my passionate belief that if we address, holistic principles for healing, that we actually improve a patient's ability to come off a medication. But I certainly, could not promise or guarantee that it's always a possibility. And this is why I believe most passionately in patients who are thinking about initiating these medications, that they must be informed of the full picture of what it is that we know about their habit-forming potential and the very unpredictable nature of their side effects.
I would go one step further than Dr. Brogan, and I appreciate what she just said, because I was there at the beginning. I was meeting with Linus Pauling, Abram Hoffer, at the beginning of the foundation of the and formation of the small group at that time, but it would broaden out, Orthomolecular Foundation, Orthomolecular Medicine, treating specifically at the time psychiatric conditions. Hoffer was the first to do it using niacin and was able to reverse the symptoms in schizophrenics with vitamin C and niacin. Pauling was interested, and they both met in my lab in New York City one night. We had a long conversation, and that was the beginning of it. Now, it's really evolved a lot since then. In fact, from that, I wrote a book called, a long time ago, called The Food Mood Connection. Then I did a PBS special called Get Healthy Now. In fact, that's where Dr. Oz was first on television. He was one of the 12 panelists I brought in to talk specifically about how everything from depression and anxiety and bipolar, all of these have nothing in the world to do with brain chemical imbalance. That's a myth. That does not exist. And yet that is the most common lie. Now, long ago, the American media could have exposed that lie. But if they did that, then virtually every one of the ads you see on television would have to be rewritten and re-scripted. And every psychiatrist have to have a different way of approaching how you treat these conditions, because the pharmacological approach does not work. It's actually dangerous. And I believe if you insisted by law that every single psychiatric diagnosis where you're giving a treatment and the treatment is prescription medicine, pharmaceutical, you must read the patient insert with all the toxic effects. Now, some of these are 45 paragraphs. And right at the top under antidepressant, the number one symptom, depression. Under the number one under antipsychotic medication, psychoses. Well, why in the world would a reasonable person decide to take a drug that causes the symptoms for their symptoms? If you're depressed and you know that you could get further depressed because that's what the drug does, why would you take it? And then we have all this suicidal ideation and violence, and yet that is never, never, ever where you see a psychiatrist or any other physician saying, let's sit down before you take this medication and show you exactly what the manufacturer says are the side effects. But mind you, side effects are actual effects. Okay? Actual effects. So that's important. Anyhow, I'd like to hear what you have to say on that. That's just the first of the ones that we're going to be dealing with today. Now we're going to deal with another one. And our talkback number, so you can have a chance to give your comments, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And we're going to go now to the whole myth of chemical imbalance was created to sell drugs. But before we go, we have Chris. Hold on 1 second. We have Chris from New York. Chris, I'd like to hear what you have to say. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. I just wanted to share my experience with the psychiatric drugs. I had a nervous breakdown about like 10 years ago when I was in college, and I was heavy into drug use, a lot of, you know, marijuana, psychedelic drugs. And I was admitted to Bellevue Hospital, where they said they started analyzing me, and all these doctors like got me in a room and started are saying, oh, what do you see? Are you delusional? And they said I was bipolar. So pretty much once I got that label on me, I couldn't move any further. They kept analyzing me for almost a month. And I think the real problem I had is I was going through a lot of stuff with personal things and the drug use, which thank God I'm 7 years sober now, and I'm vegan. But the side effects, I gained 65 pounds. I felt depressed. And they all kept saying, like, this is going to help me. And it was just a lie. They just do this, and I see people going through the same thing, and I feel like they're doing this on purpose, or it's all business. It's very unfortunate. And I hope people, like, find out the truth about it and they get better. But thank God I'm not in that situation anymore. But it really hurt me, and it hurt some of my friends as well.
There is no legitimacy to electromagnetic therapy or shock therapy. There is no legitimacy to the lobotomies. Never was. There is no legitimacy to Benjamin Rush, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, who also created the term nigritude because he was determined to prove that people were black by different degrees because they had leprosy by different degrees. And that led to the insanity of trying to get a black person's skin lighter so they wouldn't have leprosy. This is the type of nonsense that was gone on in psychiatry. And he was the first psychiatrist, by the way. And his face still adorns the seal of the American Psychiatric Association today. And these are the clowns that wrote a comic book that has no legitimacy whatsoever. And it's called The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatry, number 5. There is no science that they have whatsoever. None. Zero. And instead, they get around, a bunch of buffoons get around a room, and they say, well, should we make this series of symptoms new disease? Yeah. And they actually agree by common vote that if you talk back to your parent, you have a mental illness due to a brain chemical imbalance, authority defiance disorder. And if you don't like taking math, then you have math defiance disorder. And if you're too interested in health, then you have a health disorder simply because you're too interested in it. This is how stupid psychiatrists are. Now, I know a few psychiatrists who don't practice the pharmacological model, and good for them. But in my new documentary, which is almost done, it's about another 3 months, because I've been finishing this one on the environment. We're finishing at the end of this week. It's in color correction. We just finished sound. And by the way, this is going to have the best sound of any documentary I've ever done. We got the big equipment in, and it has surround sound like you would have, you know, like you hear the Dolby sound in a movie theater. We have that now added to the first time to one of our films, because you need it. I was looking at the waves coming in, and the glaciers and the volcanoes and the hurricanes and the calving of the ice packs going into the ocean. And they needed something more than a visual up close that I have. And now we have it. Now we're doing color and we're done as of this Friday. Done. Out the door. Finally. 7 years. In any case, what I have found is, in doing this other film for about 6 years, Manufacturing Madness, I'll give you one example of what you're going to see. I'll give you a little sneak preview. We take a completely healthy person. Nothing at all wrong. Happy, healthy, normal, mid-30s. Goes into 12 different psychiatrists' offices, but not just any psychiatrist. Some of the leading, most respected psychiatrists in the country. In every situation, describes a few symptoms, and with anywhere from 2 minutes and 40 seconds to as most as 7 minutes, was given a diagnosis and a prescription. That's it. Then when they come out on the street, watch what they say when confronted. You just gave this person right here a diagnosis they have bipolar. Can you explain bipolar? Is there any test you have? Blood test? MRI test? Biological test? Genome test? Can you show me anything in science that proves that bipolar exists? Well, no, but you know, it's all subjective. Well, if it's all subjective, why didn't you give her a cup of peanut butter instead of a very powerful psychiatric drug? Now, here are the side effects of that psychiatric drug. One of the psychiatric effects is homicidal rage. So what if this person went home, took your drug, and killed someone? Would you take responsibility for it? You're going to see this. Then there's the national, and by the way, I want to thank those of you who came up that day. I only found out about the American Psychiatric Association's annual meeting on a Friday. So we put the word out, and the next day, across from the Javits Center, recently, we had, I'm guessing, maybe 2,000 people from this audience showed up. And I led the demonstration. And when psychiatrists came out, we approached them and said, we'd just like a couple thoughts from you, please. Is there any test at all in anywhere in science that proves a brain chemical imbalance? And they all said no. Then why won't you give a sugar pill or vitamin B complex? I'm not even asking you to accept that there's a natural way to help the body chemistry, but don't do harm. And not one of them would change the way they were thinking. So we managed to get a camera inside. And here's a panel of the leading psychiatrists, mental health experts in the world. And we got a doctor to ask a question. Is there any legitimate scientific test proving brain chemical imbalance? Every single person on that dais said no. That shows you the fraud, the dangerous pathology that psychiatry and mental health has come to be today. And it's all about money. You are right. I'm sorry you had to go through what you went through, Chris, but now we're fighting back. And this documentary and the articles I have on it, did you read my articles on the fraud of psychiatry?
No.
Okay. One more reason, you got to go to prn.fm, go to my website. I have written, I'm not sure how many. I got to ask Sharon, my archivist. I think around 800 articles somewhere. But one or two of them are about psychiatry and the fraud of a psychopharmacological approach to mental health. No one should be using these drugs. And yet that's all we're using. And no one should be able to be institutionalized simply because they are having a rough time emotionally. We all have rough times emotionally. It's a money-making industry. And we're all being exploited. Chris, I thank you very much for your input. All the best to you. Now we're going to go to the other clip. And again, call in afterwards. I want to hear your points of view. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. We're going to go to our next clip right now. What if I told you the whole myth of the chemical imbalance was created to sell drugs?
imbalance was created to sell you drugs. All right, before we start, be sure to click the published. Okay, so firstly, I want to show you some slides for five different psychoactive drugs or medications, as so-called professionals like to call it. I want you to pay particular attention to the language in these slides and see if you notice any common themes. It says that paroxetine works to correct the chemical imbalance that is believed to cause generalized anxiety. This sounds about as scientific as a fortune-telling session. It is believed that you'll be visited in the night by your rich dead uncle that you've never heard of, and he is going to leave you his estate in Palm Springs. I mean, come on, listen to what is being said. Do you really think that this is a strong scientific premise? It is not scientific to say that a chemical imbalance is believed to cause generalized anxiety. In order for it to be scientific, you need to have evidence. A belief is not evidence. A belief is having faith in something that you for some reason think to be true, despite not having any evidence. So why are the promoters of paroxetine trying to correct a so-called chemical imbalance when they only have a belief that a chemical imbalance is causing the generalized anxiety and no evidence that a chemical imbalance is causing the generalized anxiety? On top of that, they have no evidence whatsoever that there even is a chemical imbalance. Now, why would you believe something if there is no evidence? The way they write this is very misleading, but also points to the fact that these drug companies have zero evidence of chemical imbalances being the cause for any mental illness, and zero evidence that their drugs do anything to correct them. The only reason that these drug companies are giving us this corrupt and misleading information is to make money, plain and simple. If chemical imbalances were without a doubt the cause of mental illnesses, they would say so. They wouldn't say that they have a belief that chemical imbalances cause mental illnesses. They would say that chemical imbalances do cause mental illnesses. Now, I want to show you some slides with quotes from a number of people in a variety of different fields. To sum up, they are disturbing, right? The main thing that I will be talking about on this channel is anxiety, so let's use this as an example. Anxiety is not caused by a chemical imbalance, and how I know this is because there is no evidence to suggest that it is. Secondly, science is about making repeatable observations. I can, for example, start worrying about what is going to happen tomorrow, and I guarantee that if I worry hard enough, I will produce the emotion of anxiety inside myself. Regardless how many times I do this, I will get the same result. It's simple. If you worry and ask yourself, what if this happens, what if that happens, and start freaking out about future events, you will trigger the feeling of anxiety. Does having this anxiety mean that it was caused by a chemical imbalance? No. The feeling of anxiety is a completely normal and expected emotional outcome of you thinking fearfully about future events. It really is no mystery. Okay, I'm sure there are some of you watching this who are already aware of this, but for those who are not, I hope this small presentation has, at the very least, opened your eyes a little.
Okay, your thoughts on this? Then that was from an important longer. You can listen to the whole presentation by going over to PRN.fm. Sometimes we only play part of this because of limitations in the amount of time we have to give to something. But I'd like to hear what you have to say. So you've heard, too, dealing with mental health, which is a big issue in the United States today. By the way, any of you in this audience right now who came, 3 years ago in the summer, June, July, and August, over at 86th Street and Westend Avenue, where we held a three on a weekly basis for 3 months in an anti-depression, anti-anxiety health support group. There was Barbara Duncan, there was a nurse practitioner, Luann Panessi, and myself, John Q. We had a lot of information we gave to people. No medications, of course, none of my health support groups, none of the clinical studies I do are based upon medicine. They're based upon rebalancing the mind, behavior, perceptions, and our body chemistry. You couldn't get in unless you had a diagnosis and been under treatment and on meds for depression or anxiety. At the end, 93% of all the people were no longer manifesting any symptoms of depression or anxiety. They felt great. They'd lost weight. They had a whole new sense of positive affirmation about life. And then I always do a 3-month follow-up after that. And they were actually getting even better. The longer they went, the more they were feeling good, the more positive affirmations they were making on a daily basis. Any of you were there, call in. I'd like to hear your experience 3 years post that study. All right? Now, if you have a question, call in, or not a question, you have a statement, I'd like to hear from you. Otherwise, we're going to go to this: why artificial intelligence is the most dangerous thing you can imagine right now. However, before we go there, and we'll take your calls as they come in, Luann Panessi's on the line, and I hadn't spoken to her this morning, but yesterday she called and said, we're full. Don't have anyone more call for the clinical study, the redo clinical study. We did the original clinical study in October, November. I'll follow up at people's homes in December. And now in March, we have to redo it to see if we can get the same standards and of outcome. If we do, then we will have created scientific history. So that's what we're doing, to help people understand the aging process, to de-age, to reverse aging. Can we do it? We did it. Now we have to duplicate it again so that we can prove 67% of all science is not reproducible. We have to prove you can do this. We've also done follow-ups with everyone, and the results, they just kept getting better. I mean, I'm hearing things from people, the stronger, more flexibility, their skin is changing, their hair is changing. One guy who was almost bald, very thin hair, I think he had 2 hairs on my older brother Howard. Howard had 3 hairs. Now, for those of you who knew Howard, and a lot of you did, thousands of you met him, upstate at the old Fertiller Farm. He was up there every weekend. We did our workshops, and down in Texas. Just such a loving soul. But every man in my family, including all my uncles, were all bald. They all had male pattern baldness, and I was going bald until I created my own protocol and reversed it. And then I did a study. 5,000 people showed up. The school, Robert F. Kennedy High School, wasn't prepared for it. We weren't prepared for it. I was calling all my doctor and nurse friends. We had 20 people over there just measuring people's hair. If your hair was colored, you couldn't get in. If you were really balding or thinning or graying, you could. And then we did a study, and then we did it again. And when we did it the second time, we had statistically significant results, because the first time, not everybody kept with the protocol. They had only do what they want. I didn't know that. In fact, it was 3 months after the study was over, and we did not have statistically significant results, that I'm walking down the street on Broadway, and a guy comes up to me, and he says, Gary. I said, yeah. He says, do you remember me? I was in your hair today. So you and 3,000 other people. He had on a little beret, and he took his beret off, and he said, take a look. So I'm looking at his head, and he had all this, maybe a half inch of brown hair. I'm 66 years old, and I was completely bald when I came in to the study. And I said, well, did you do this during the study? He said, nah. He said, no, none of us did. He said, we'd all go out to this gigantic Chinese restaurant in the neighborhood, and we'd all be eating regular food. We enjoyed the lectures, loved the lectures, camaraderie. A lot of people came because they were lonely. I didn't know that. So I went back to the office, and I called everyone. I said, call every single person, ask them, did you actually do the study protocols? And are you ready for this? Over 80% of the people did not. So we redid the study. This time, different standards. You could not get back in if you had not proven you had done your homework and were on the study. As a result, we flipped it completely around. We had statistically significant results. The oldest person was 81, who had been bald for 25 years. He had a full head of hair at the end. So anyhow, now we're getting people in this study saying their hair is coming back, their nails are pink and hard, their muscle is tightening up, creepy skin is reducing, sagging, jowie, all this stuff is changing. These are the markers of aging. Now, we already measured the biological markers in the blood, and those were statistically significant, and the physiological markers. And on the Hamilton Depression Scale, we reversed depression in people who had been depressed for over their entire life, over 50, 60 years. So we know this is history being made. In fact, I just quoted yesterday some of the people who are in the scientific community, big-time people in the scientific community on aging, who have seen the initial results, and so they're all waiting for the final results. Anyhow, right now, Luann says that a lot of people are calling because they have illnesses and think that if they come to the anti-aging study, that we'll deal with their illnesses. No, we won't. This is not about illnesses. In fact, you would be excluded if you came with a serious illness. Now, arthritis, that to me is nothing. I can reverse arthritis in a short period of time. Even high blood sugar, we can deal with. Pain, we can deal with. Cancer, we can't deal with. Congestive heart failure or serious heart disease, we can't deal with. End-stage Alzheimer's, can't deal with. Because then the protocol I'm giving for the anti-aging to change your DNA, to repair your DNA, to reverse your mitochondrial decline, all the energy will go into your disease. And that's a separate protocol. Now, to help those people, yes, I'm happy to help people with any disease. In fact, all I do every night is talk with people who are terminally ill and try to help them. But that's separate. You don't call and you don't come if you've got the diseases. That won't work. You gotta be in fairly good health, and we'll help you get to the place where you can put it all together. Anyhow, so Luann's on the phone right now. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Hi. Yeah, wow. What a response for this study. It is really exciting. I stopped counting how many people have called in, and an interesting thing came across. A number of people asked first of all, where did we get our staff, and how could one become a member of the staff? So I'm going to ask you if you agree with having me interview people who might have a talent or skill. As you know, we've had some of the most amazing vegan chefs working with us that have come up with some of the most delicious vegan cuisine coming right out of your books for our members. So if there are any vegan chefs out there that want to be a part of this amazing study or even our retreat, I would love for you to give me a call. If you have any other talents that we might utilize during the retreat or during the anti-aging program, I'm going to entertain it if you're okay with it.
Providing the people are qualified and aren't coming because of some other agenda. Oh, by the way, talking about that, I want to read something from Claire Adams, who just sent it. Remember Claire? Claire's one of the leading voices for the health movement in Michigan. And I guess it's 20 years ago that I went up to her store, Zerbo's, and did a lecture. And I was doing a PBS special at the time out there. And she's interested in being in this special. Here's two comments that came in yesterday. Quote, I have specialized in anti-aging medicine for nearly 40 years and was also a review editor at one of the more respected gerontological journals, the Archives of Gerontology and Geriatrics. For the past 30 years, I have educated over 200,000 physicians and scientists in the science behind anti-aging. That said, after reviewing the initial results of Dr. Null's observational clinical trial of 18 average senior citizens, I can state the initial study results appear remarkable. The before and after measurements of the biological markers, the physiological measurements, including body composition, percent of body mass index, resting heart rate, psychological improvements according to the Hamilton scale system, and physical fitness performance data confirm that this may be the most comprehensive lifestyle and anti-aging protocol of seniors I have ever reviewed. And that's an MD who's one of the leading anti-aging scientists and who's president of the largest anti-aging scientist group in the world. He also separately, in a separate paragraph, said that he is going to have 50,000 scientists monitoring our results on a daily basis. So I've got to have some person, I don't know who it is yet, on staff who will just be monitoring the emails that we get from around the world, because we're now going to stream all of my lectures and all the workshops, yoga, meditation, the gym, the pool, John Q. And so I've got to have someone who's going to communicate with them back and forth. And excuse me, this is Bill Falloon, who's head of the Life Extension Foundation and is one of the major, world's major sponsors of anti-aging research. Quote, "This may be the most rigorous study ever conducted on healthy people designed to further improve their clinical measures and aging biomarkers. As you know, if you put the typical 70-year-old through this, the statistical responses would have exponentially improved," end quote. Yeah, well, we have people from 60 on in a subgroup of 40 of only 5 people we're allowing, and another group of 50 to 60, 40 to 50, but only 5. Those are not in the regular study. They're doing the same protocol because I want to see, can we get the aging markers changed in younger people? But this just came in. This is Leonard. You know Leonard Smiley? One of the best chefs. One of the best chefs that we've ever had. We all love Leonard. He says, "Hey, Gary." This just came in 10 minutes ago. "Hey, Gary, I've been following you on YouTube for many years now. Glad to see the channel improving. I'm listening now to live broadcasts. Just so you know, there are ways that you can make it more interactive, similar to when you broadcast on Facebook." Good. Well, Leonard, send me the details, and I'll pass those on to Jesse, and we'll see what we can do. Okay, so give your phone number.
Surely, it's 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. And by the way, Gary, your original cassette series, Abuses in Psychiatry, was one of the first materials of yours that I ever listened to. And boy, and that was like, my goodness, that was from 1994 or 93. And it's exactly the same as it is today. But that was the cassette series that turned my life around, because I've been involved in psychiatric nursing my whole career. And boy, it was spot on. Spot on. What a fraud.
Okay. Also, it's still up on our site, the three-hour special I did, Pathologizing African Americans by Psychiatry.
Yes.
That's an eye-opener. Thanks a lot, Luann.
Again,
until Luann says that she has gone through all the names that she has. Excuse me. This is what you get for counseling for 6 straight hours last night. I've been doing it every night to catch up a bit. Anyhow, she has to screen every person, and a lot of people, she told me last night, are not qualified because they have very serious life-threatening illnesses. She will help those people separately, but not as part of this clinical study. It would skew the results. We're going to finish off our program today by listening to why artificial intelligence is the most dangerous thing you can imagine right now.
Hey, 42 here. Earlier this year, Facebook was working on a new highly intelligent AI chatbot that could talk to and negotiate with humans in a realistic manner. When one Facebook engineer had the bright idea to take 2 of these AI bots and let them talk to each other, that's when something unexpected and terrifying happened. The 2 AIs invented their own language that us humans couldn't understand and began using it to talk to each other. Here's a snippet of what the 2 bots named Bob and Alice said to each other. Bob said, "I can, I, everything else." Alice, "Balls have 0 to me, 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 too." Bob, "You, I, everything else." Alice, "Balls have a balls to me, to me, to me, to me, to me, to me, to me." The Facebook engineers had no idea what they were talking about, but it was very clear that the AIs did. They had invented their own secret code to converse using the power of artificial neural networks. International News soon reported that Facebook forcefully shut down the experiment due to concerns that the AIs were becoming too smart, getting out of control, and to prevent a Skynet situation. This isn't entirely true. Yes, they did shut it down right away, but because they were trying to create an AI that could talk to humans, and if it was going to go and take the liberty to invent its own language, then that wasn't much use, and so the experiment was thus a failure. But, nevertheless, this is still really creepy. As we continue to advance artificial intelligence technology and push the boundaries further and further every year, what happens when they do become self-aware, sentient beings that are more intelligent than humans? Could AI take over the world, and will it be in our lifetimes? Artificial intelligence, the ability for computers to think at a human level and beyond, and to self-replicate and self-improve, is not a dystopian vision of the future. It is here. It is now. It is happening. Most people are completely unaware at the phenomenal rate that our AI systems have improved over the past 5 years, and the trend is only getting steeper and steeper. You may not.
Okay, what we're going to do, because I see that we're running out of time, I'm going to pick it up there and carry it forward tomorrow. Plus, I'm going to have another one on artificial intelligence tomorrow. It really gets interesting what he has to say about that right now. In the day that we're in right now, artificial intelligence is smarter than any human being on the planet, and they're creating their own language with other artificial intelligence. Think of what that could do. Everything electronical in the world, they can turn off or on. Think of the consequences if one of those artificial intelligence robots, of whatever it is, went rogue. We'll discuss that tomorrow. In the interim, thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.